fund?
We do now.
Okay. Thanks, Teddy. All right, it is 6:03. I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have Supervisor Underhill, Supervisor Decker, Supervisor Dodge. Supervisor Skidlitsky is on his way. We have our two youth in governance, Bianca and Colin, here, and we also have present Trevor Foster from Judiciary and Law, and Barb and Teddy. First item, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
The meeting was published on November 1st and on November 6th.
Thank you. Number two, at 6:03, youth in governance updates and proposed timeline.
I'm going to do the timeline first because I have that up here on the screen. And so this is your opportunity to provide feedback to the next program year, because we've got to get everything ready in December to send out to the schools for nominations, the schools and public and everyone at large. So we need, and we didn't want to wait till the December meeting. Mm-hmm. So as you think about the youth and governance year beginning in January, after the first of the year, we distribute nomination forms. So we do that through high schools. We use youth and governance members to help us recruit. We put public service announcements out. We try to get it out all over the place. Then the applications would actually be due a month later in, or the nominations would be due a month later in February. Every youth who is nominated gets the letter to say, congratulations, you've been nominated. Please complete an application. Those applications would then be due a month later, March 8th. We would then hold, here's the important one for everyone on the committee, including youth and governance, because you participate in these interviews, Tuesday, March 6th, and Wednesday, March 27th. 26th, thank you. A little dyslexic today, I'm not missing that. It's probably all this water in my eyes. My tear duct isn't any better, so pardon me if it looks like I'm blotting my eye all the time. 26th and 27th, starting at about 5 o'clock. And you all know what that's like, and some of you know what that's like to go through that process. What we've typically done is divided the committee in half and had half of you interview on the first night and half on the second night, but ask our youth and governance members to be there for both nights. So if you could put that on your radar, or just let me know now if there are any major changes we want to make to the calendar. Then we would let youth know who've been interviewed by May 1st, and that is plenty of time then for those recommendations by the Extension Education Committee, PDEC Committee, excuse me, to be given to the County Board Chairperson, who then makes the final approval. They would be notified at the beginning of May. The County Board meeting where they would be appointed would be May 21st.
I run, and I don't know if this makes a difference, but I have that on Tuesday, March 26th, during the Human Services meeting.
Does that affect any of you? It doesn't. Okay,
well, so we can in the room that we do the.
I've already got the room reserved.
Okay, I went ahead.
But that
I'm
means
you're both nights. So
well, I was going to say then you could take Wednesday
right,
night.
Right.
I'm sure.
Because
okay. And they may end up booting us. I don't know. We'll see. If they do,
okay.
We'll probably go
just
back to the auditor's conference room. But we already put ours in. We have this great new online reservation system now that you can put your stuff online.
Oh.
So I
got in there. She's usually faster than the other people.
I got right in there. We did that. Actually, April did it for me. But thanks for that. That's a good note. Then, just because John and I have to plan ahead, the tour that we would take all the new youth and governance members on would be June 26th. And then for all of, John does this because he has to remember that those youth then would be recognized May 20th, 2014 to come back. So you all would be recognized May 21st.
Of 2013. Yes.
Because they're
turned, the outgoing ones.
And the new ones are coming in.
And the new
in.
Ones are coming
yes,
in.
Yes,
yeah.
Just right.
Yep.
So
there
this is the outgoing.
Yep, with our reception.
You really have to think about.
Yeah.
It's like the dominoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions on the calendar?
Does it look like it'll work?
Maybe it does, aside from the human services, just
okay.
Give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems right.
Okay.
You guys think you can be there? It's very important for you guys to be there.
So we're giving to you dates now. Okay, great.
Okay.
All right. Do we need to approve it, or we just assume that it's...
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
I have a first and second. Youth and Governance? Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Okay, we have a calendar.
We have a calendar. Great, good. Okay. The next item is regarding updates with the program. And I did email to all of you the attendance records of our Youth and Governance members. So just to remind you, the policy states, and I'm going to read it so that I get it correct, and I'll remind new committee members as well as Youth and Governance members that this policy was as a recommendation of former Youth and Governance members who put forward the request to the Extension Education Committee at that time to request that there be a policy regarding attendance so that individuals who have not been regularly attending their meetings would then ask to be stepped down so that another youth could sit in that seat. Their feeling was is that if someone is not attending regularly, that they've taken, that some youth should have that opportunity. And so youth put that forward. That was done in March of 2010, and the Extension Committee at that time approved that and said that really is an appropriate policy. So the policy is that any Youth and Governance member not attending at least 50% of their committee meetings by November would be asked to step down and an alternate would take their place on the committee. So you might remember when you made recommendations to Youth and Governance, you also made recommendations for alternates. So we do have alternates already who we would reach down to. At the end of October, I send out an email to all of the individuals who are responsible for the minutes and attendance records of each of the county board committees. They then email me back, and we put it in that form of the chart that you all have, which shows you, it's their information. They report how many meetings were held and how many meetings each of the youth attended. And then we do the simple calculations. Oh, now you see my...
Sorry, just a little bit of a distraction.
Now you can all see my screensaver. Isn't it fun? I'm sorry, so distracted.
Yeah.
So sorry, so distracted. I wonder if I thought that was so funny. I thought attendance isn't funny.
On the attendance, if one of the youth in government have something that came up, death in the family or something important, are excused absences counted as absences?
Counted as absences, correct.
They are.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
An absence is an absence, correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, an absence is an absence. Yep, it's an absence. So that's what you see in front of you, what was identified as all of the Youth and Governance members' attendance records. And there, as you can see, one Youth and Governance member who has not achieved a 50% attendance record, and that would be Trevor Foster from Judiciary and Law. Trevor was contacted regarding that information so that he knew ahead of time that issue was of a concern and would be discussed this evening at this committee meeting, because it would be at this committee meeting that the decision would be made how to proceed with the recommendation going to the county board chairman. So, mm-hmm. Madam Chairman, there's the background.
Thank you, Teddy. And Supervisor Dodge, just so you are aware, the reason why excused absences are counted also is the same reason why supervisors have it counted towards them. When you call in and you are excused from one of our county board meetings or one of your committee meetings, that goes on your record as an excused absence, but it's an absence nonetheless. And at the end of the year, when you are up for re-election, or at the end of your term, when you are up for re-election, the Kenosha News is always nice enough to put into the newspaper how many meetings you missed, whether they were excused or not. So, yeah, they do that.
And I'll just state for background purposes, we have had to implement this policy.
Yes.
And we have had youth asked to step down from a committee because of an attendance issue, and an alternate stepped in. They picked November because it's sort of a midway point, mm-hmm. thinking there would still be time for that youth to be engaged, the alternate to be engaged. So I wanted it to be clear that we have had already a precedent set by implementing the policy in a previous year. So
mm-hmm. That's true. Questions from the committee? Colin?
Yeah, I was wondering, it says that Bianca and I attended 83% of the meetings, so there must be a few that the counting must be different than how I think it was. So is there anything you can tell me about that?
It says you just missed one.
It just says you missed one.
You missed one.
Right.
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 We could have every single one the Wednesday ones, but I was wondering, was the finance one that took place while Colin and I were during school, does that count?
No. And these would be records that April has taken, so we give your attendance, so I would have to admit I'd have to go back and look and see which month that you missed, but each of you have only missed one meeting out of the six.
According to
April, yeah. And it could have been one of the very first ones,
yeah.
During the summertime.
When you're over there and you see April, you know April Webb, ask April if she could give you the specific meetings that you have missed.
Right.
And she could let you know because she keeps those records.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on the attendance that we take at each of the committee meetings. She could let you know. And these would be meetings as of, for you all, because our committee didn't meet until June. This would be June. So June.
Starting July. Yeah, June.
6. October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I have to use my fingers to count. See that?
Yeah. But, you know, and you bring up a good point. It's always good to go back and ask her about those to make sure that
a mistake was made.
Yeah. Because if she made a mistake, then she has to get it corrected.
That's
right away.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the variety of meetings. We had 6. Look, some committees had 11. Some committees only had 4. So you can see that's why they did it by percentage, because the committees meet different times.
Yeah. Different and the finance administration, they were actually required to be there for the budget hearings.
For the budget hearings.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and surprisingly, they did show up to every one of them. They should. It's very tedious and long. Long week.
Do you? Yeah. So that request, maybe the word will get out. People won't want to serve on the finance committee.
Oh, that's a great committee, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I get like Al around budget time. Okay, so Trevor is here because he wanted to talk to everyone tonight about his attendance and see if there is any way that he can have a special consideration. So, Trevor, I'm going to let you go ahead and speak to the committee.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Trevor Foster from the Judiciary and Law Committee. I'm well aware of the 50% attendance policy that was created by youth and governance members, and I'm also aware that my attendance for the past months fell just below the 50% mark. However, I feel that my absences were not due to my negligence, and therefore I should not be replaced on the Judiciary and Law Committee. I was absent from both the July and August meetings due to previously scheduled engagements. In July, I was away at school studying in a pre-law seminar. And in August, I was building a house in Maryville, Tennessee for Habitat for Humanity. Both of these were scheduled 8 to 9 months prior. I was in constant contact with my mentor and emailed Mr. Frederick regarding each of my absences to let him know that I was not going to be able to attend these meetings. I've printed out the correspondence and I have it with me today. So again, for these absences, I was not just on vacation, nor was I not attending for any other frivolous reasons. But if it were just these two meetings that I missed, I wouldn't be standing here before you this evening. Just this past October, I also missed a meeting. This absence is one that I did not feel I should be penalized for. The meeting was on Monday, October 15th, and the Judiciary and Law Committee regularly meets on the second Wednesday of the month. I check my email on a regular basis during the week, and I regularly receive the agendas for my committee that are sent out every month. However, this meeting was held on a different day and date than what our regular schedule would have dictated. I did not receive my agenda packet until late Monday evening on the 15th, which was the same day as the meeting that I was unaware of. I happened to open the packet the next morning, Tuesday the 16th, and found out that I had already missed the meeting. I checked the postmark on the package, and it read October 12th, which was the Friday prior. Being that it was postmarked on Friday at the Kenosha County Administration meeting, went out to the post office on Saturday, and since there's no post on Sunday, I didn't get the package until Monday evening and was not able to open it until after my school activities, after the meeting had already taken place. I immediately sent out an email apologizing for my absence and explaining that I did not know the change in days. I also checked with my committee partner, Audrey, and she said that the same thing happened to her. If I had known about the change in dates, I would have been able to make this meeting, and if the meeting were held on the regularly scheduled day, I would have been at the meeting. So as you can see, there's no way that me missing this meeting could be due to my negligence. Another point that I'd like to bring up is that the other youth and governance representative on the Judiciary and Law Committee has missed the same meetings as I have, so we have the same number of absences. In September, I received a forwarded message from our mentor that was also sent to Mrs. Winnett that explained that I had emailed Mr. Frederick regarding my absences, but that the other youth and governance representative had not been in contact with him throughout the summer. How is it that I'm at risk of being replaced and she's not? I realize that it's a great privilege to be able to participate in this program. I really enjoy taking part in learning about our local government, and I hope that you guys can see that my points are valid and that I do, in fact, deserve to continue to partake in this opportunity. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Supervisor Skolitsky.
May I address?
Yes.
So, you still have a sincere interest in the program?
Yeah.
You're getting something worthwhile out of it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it, and I like doing it. One of the times I was gone, I was actually at the pre-law seminar, and I'm really interested in law, and I want to learn more about that.
It has nothing to do with the committee you're on, that you find it frustrating, or
it's not much about that. Okay, it's just these two I've not worked. 8 to 9 months prior, and then the last one that put me over the edge, I didn't even get notified about it.
Okay, I understand that. It's happened to me, so it's okay. I just want to make sure that you have a sincere interest, because as you well can imagine, there are other students that you have one, and if it really isn't there, and you're calling ahead, isn't what I thought it was, then it would make sense to have someone replace you. On the other hand, I certainly can understand the two absences that you had previously planned far in advance. It isn't as though you were out goofing off. Those are, one was personal, the other was for community service. I'm committed on both of those. So I just want to make sure that you still have sincere interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
Yes.
I want to have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay,
Colin.
So did you say that the other youth and governance member on your committee, Audrey, missed the same number of meetings you did?
I talked to her, and she has missed all the same meetings as I have.
But on the record, it says that she's missed 3 out of 5.
So the official record...
She's missed 2 out of 5. She made 2.
So let me clarify that the official record that came from Donna DeBrie, who takes the minutes of that meeting, indicated that you both attended on June 13th. Only Audrey attended July 1. Neither one of you attended on August 8th. Both of you attended on September 12th. And neither of you attended on 10/15.
I apologize. There must have been some miscommunication between Audrey and
so that's the official record.
Helen, anything else? Yes.
So, but are you, you spoke to her and she said, yes, I did miss three
meetings. I don't understand. Did you get a call from her? Because I think we all missed the same meetings, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, no, I didn't get a call, but I'm pretty sure we all missed the same meetings.
Supervisor Decker?
They answered my question.
Okay.
Yes, they answered my question.
Supervisor
Dodge? Do you have any conflicts with any future meetings, or do you plan to attend all of the meetings?
Yes, I plan to attend all the meetings.
Okay. I'd like to move to keep him on.
Second.
I have a first and a second. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Just a minute of a question.
That's okay.
Oh.
That's okay.
No. We need to have all questions answered.
Has Judiciary and Law met this month?
Yes, we met last week.
Last week.
And that's included in the
It is not, no, because it's
because
as
it's
of
only,
November.
As of October 31st.
Okay. I asked for attendance at the beginning of November.
Okay. And is that clear in our
policy? Yes.
It is. And I should have said this, the three of them can verify, how many times did it come out of my mouth how important attendance is? And that if you didn't complete the attendance as of November, you'd be at risk of being removed. Okay. I just wanted that to be clear that you have heard that, you knew what the policy was.
I'd just like to state, I agree with Teddy with the policy 100%. There is, I see one exception when a meeting is changed, where the night is different. Personally, I take exception to that because, I take that differently because, especially he stating he wasn't notified. We all know that that happens on this board, that you get your packet late because it didn't go in the mail at time. If he didn't know about it, slipped through the cracks, and if he had missed three regularly scheduled meetings on the same night where it should be the same, the third Wednesday or whatever it is, I would take that completely different. I think, my opinion, I'm going to throw out that one that was on a different night because I know these kids are very busy and they have something going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they know the third Wednesday is my meeting for judiciary and law or whatever. That's my night. And then if something gets thrown off where it's a different night, in my opinion, that kind of is an exception to the rule. That's just how I feel. So that's just my opinion.
Okay. Anything else from the committee? Okay. So I've got a... I.
You did advise?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to show you.
Those two.
Aye.
I didn't, I'm sorry, oh. I'm trying to keep
aye.
Up here.
I.
Unanimous.
Not yet.
Kim.
Sorry.
I have to agree with Supervisor Decker on this one. The whole thing with the packets not arriving on a Monday has been an issue, especially, Trevor, you live where?
Right down the street, Bristol.
Right out here, which has been a huge... Okay. It has, for some reason, the packets getting past 94 seems to be an issue with the county board. So I guess I would have to vote aye. I will state it one more time, this is a very good reason why everyone needs to go paperless. Right? Everyone needs to go paperless. So if you want a request from your, from Donna DeBree?
Yes.
From Donna, that you receive your packets via email?
Okay.
That might be a great way to do it. Supervisor Decker?
Are the youth and governance, do they get the emails from Edie and Reggie on Fridays? With
yeah.
Okay. Do you get those?
Yes.
Where? Okay.
I checked it on that Friday and I didn't have anything yet, so I might have checked too early.
Okay.
Yeah, because those don't come out until
around noon-ish.
And a lot of times, if they are doing amendments to them, you don't know which one is which after that. So. No. So, Supervisor Skolitsky.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I also support the attendance policy. I think it's very important because, as you well know, if you only got one meeting a month and you're only doing it for 1 year, that doesn't give you a lot of opportunities to participate.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are always circumstances or you just need to take things into context. I think the explanation that Trevor provided me, I'm more than satisfied with the fact that, you know what, each and every one of those, and in fact, like I said, on October, I'm going to have to do something with budgeting time too.
I don't know.
But, you know, I can certainly, I normally would not, I would support the attendance policy and say we'd have a problem here, but not in this case. Take things into context and I'm fine.
Okay. You got that?
I think I am. I'm just going back and getting on my eyes. I'm good now.
Now, with that being said, do we need to revise our policy?
Is there any decision tonight you made that would affect the policy?
No.
Okay.
I think, again, you know, when you think, how often does it come up? Once in a blue moon, right?
Right.
We can get together as a group, talk about it, come to a reasonable conclusion. Trevor comes in and says, you know what? I just forgot. It's just really, you know, that committee is there. That would have been a different story, right?
Right.
We'd all have said, okay. But that's not the case.
don't think we need to adjust the policy. I was thinking 50% was a little lenient, but okay.
Supervisor Decker.
Do these other youth and governance that are borderline, are they, have they been told and are aware that they're almost?
No, because the attendance is only taken this one time. Right?
Oh,
this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a one point in time. The attendance is reviewed, and if they haven't made 50%, they'll be asked to step down. Henceforward, nothing changes.
Now, I had issues last year. Did that just so happen that it coincided with November?
Yes, it did. That's when the attendance was run and when the decision was made.
I think we need to review that policy, that part of the policy, maybe not tonight. Not necessarily that you are in charge of anything after November, but maybe the mentors, if they see, let's say Bianca, all of a sudden, because she knows November's up, and no one's going to watch her, she starts blowing off meetings, and there's nothing we can do. Well, as a mentor, not that I'm on this committee, but let's say as a mentor, I say, hey, Teddy, Bianca has missed like the last three meetings, and now she's at 20%, and she's not returning my emails. I called her. She's not getting back to me. What can we do? Well, because our policy says November, there's really nothing we can do. I think if a mentor feels that we need to address it anytime after November, we should. That's just my thought.
Actually, that's a good idea.
We could actually, if you want to, make that part of the mentor guidelines that is already in place and just add that as mm-hmm. an item to say, mm-hmm. even after the November, quote-unquote, attendance record is taken, as you suggested, we'd expect mentors to continue to pay attention to and address any attendance issues that might arise. But it would be up to the mentor to do that.
And I think part of that should be if they hit the 50% or below, that they do not get that certificate at the end. I mean, that's the big thing. That mm-hmm. certificate at the end to add that to your college application is a big thing.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? If they fall below the 50% for the total year.
Do we want to address that tonight? Do we
How about that, and they don't get recognized at the, because we hand out awards at the
right.
end of the year.
Right, right. That's when
they
get their certificate.
Also.
Right.
We could do, and we could spend more time on this next month and actually
right.
Let's do
maybe
that.
Just
I
give
think
some opportunity.
Pin down the...
Just do it. Yeah, we have
right.
time, but...
Right.
Okay.
And if you could send us the policy, you know, all the youth and governance rules so
sure.
we could look them
mm-hmm.
over and
mm-hmm.
the mentor... guidelines
mm-hmm.
for us to look over. And
yeah.
Good idea.
I think only one person attended the mentor.
The mentor training?
The mentor training for me, yeah.
What mentor training?
At the, exactly. You're not a mentor. No, at the beginning of each term, the beginning of each year when the new mentors are coming in,
oh,
that same
in,
night,
in,
I have mentor in, training
yes,
for...
Yes. In the...
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did it.
Yeah.
Coming back, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
Do either one.
Are we all set with that one?
I think so. What I'll do is put this on the agenda for December and make sure that before that meeting you get a copy of the youth and governance policies and the mentor guidelines so that you have time to review them before the meeting.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teddy.
Thank you.
Okay. It's 6:32. We're going to move on to, do we have enough time to do generations in the workplace?
We do.
Okay.
And the reason we do is because Barb is our one and only educator here besides myself this evening to give educator updates. So there won't be a whole lot of educators vying for my time. So how about that? Let me clarify that this is not the month for Rose. Since Rose was here last month, she's every other month. And then John and Bethany are both at a statewide youth development conference. For all youth and development educators, as is Amy, because it's a youth development mm-hmm. and family living, and so all our nutrition educators are there as well. So our office has been quiet these last couple of days. So, all right. Okay, so one of the areas that I have had a professional curiosity about, I think is probably the best way for me to say, is this whole concept of generational differences and generations, particularly in the workforce. So I took a training about 3 or 4 years ago in Illinois on learning more about what makes that generational difference become conflict, or what is it that you could do differently in an office environment to be more welcoming to younger generations and at the same time accommodate those who are in, shall we say, a different cohort group of older. So I just, the more I learned about it, the more interested I got. And I then have connected with other colleagues across the state. We have formed a statewide team called Communicating Across Generations. And we are in the process of revamping a curriculum to teach to our colleagues in Wisconsin, as well as give to other organizations and businesses. So we're hopeful that what we're doing will be of useful information for other organizations and businesses across the state who are saying, you know, we really haven't paid a whole lot of attention to this. We've noticed some interesting workplace dynamics, but not quite sure what it means or why things are happening the way they are. So that's our goal. We plan to do that and launch that next year. So we're doing the research now and learning more. And there's more and more research about this all the time. I mean, it's really kind of an exciting thing. So I'm going to give you a very abbreviated version of this. Today was Leadership Kenosha, and I taught for an hour and a half today on just this topic, and the interest is really high, I have to tell you that. So maybe I'll just pique yours a little bit, and maybe you'll want a little bit more in the future. So, what do you see up here?
Pile of poop.
Pile of poop. What else? Anybody else? What do you see? What is that?
Fertilizer. Dung beetle food.
Food. Yeah, dung and beetle food. Yeah. Great answers. I have to confess here, I actually borrowed this slide from Rebecca Ryan. Rebecca Ryan is the owner of Next Generation Consulting in Madison, and she was here 2 years ago, if anybody heard her speak, at Strawberry Creek for the, it was either the chamber dinner or the CAVA dinner, I can't remember which one, but she was the speaker. Her whole concept was, what can communities do to attract younger generations to choose the communities to live, work, and play? And Kenosha was thinking, you know, we've got to figure out how we're going to get people to stay here. They leave. They don't come back. How are we going to keep them engaged in the community? What is it that we need to do? So she showed this slide, and I was all ears when she said, she put this slide up and asked an audience, a very mixed generational audience, what they saw. And much like I got, thank you all very much for playing along, same answers. That someone in the audience said, I see cow poop, cow pie. Someone else said, I see fertilizer. And yet someone else said, I see electricity. Is everybody following that?
Mm-hmm.
How
they
see
yes.
electricity, the fuel source, biomass. Yeah, okay, yeah. I love the food one. Now that one I'm going to have to remember.
I thought it was kind of close.
No,
but it is.
It's like a good one. So the point being is that we all have different, we're all seeing the same thing. Based upon our perspectives, we all come forward with a different idea. The same thing happens across the generations, either in the workplace, and I would also contend in your families. So what we're going to talk about tonight, you're probably going to do the whole rewind in your head. Next week, you'll probably be with family members because it's a big holiday in this country, and you'll probably have many generations all together. And your mind is going to go, I remember when she said that's what that Generation X is like, and that's what... So let me say here as a disclaimer, none of this is written in stone, and please don't make blanket assumptions about generations because someone was born in that period. Number one, you didn't have any control over it. You're born when you're born. You didn't get to choose the decade you were born. Number two, just like anything when it comes to a characterization, it's very difficult to put someone in a box. So keep in mind, just think of this very broadly, recognizing that not everyone will fit these descriptors, but for the most part, you're going to find you're going to do some head nodding and things will appear very common and similar to you. So here we are. In the United States today, we have as many as 4 generations in the workplace at the same time. First time ever, actually, in these last 10 years that it's happened. Anybody know why? Why would we have the 4 generations?
It's the greatest generation. They're working longer.
Exactly. And they're working longer many times not by choice. They often it's because they have to. So, or in some cases, they love work so much, they want it, they want to continue to be active, and they're brought back in consulting roles and different things. So you'll see some of them in the radio or mature generation, also known as the silent generation, staying in the workforce a little longer or coming back. Largest generation ever are those baby boomers. No surprise. Because what? They get all the attention. Constantly hearing them, but you're like, I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear anymore. Just wish they'd retire. Someone said to me the other day, we were at a team meeting, and she was down here as a Gen Y. She goes, we're just waiting for y'all to retire or die. Well, yeah, that's going to happen.
They've always said to follow what the baby boomers are. I said, funeral homes are the future. I mean, really?
Yeah. Or... yeah, engaging communities.
Now?
Yeah,
what's
engaging communities. Yeah. So then we have Gen X, which is actually the smallest generation. There's only 47. By the way, there's about 86. I think it's 86 million baby boomers. I might have that wrong. I think it's 86. I have to look at my notes. I'm doing this out of memory from this morning. Gen X is our smallest, only 47 million. They're the smallest. And then the next largest are our millennials, that Gen Y, and they are about 68. So Gen X is in that sandwich. They're in that squeeze. They really are feeling, you know, like it's coming at us from both directions, which is really fascinating. I wanted to share a really quick story. Another reason why I get sort of interested in this is I watched and have watched the dynamics in our office. At one time, we had someone from this generation who was a senior in the office working part-time, and it was interesting to watch the dynamics of... to watch the dynamics and see to see how interactions occurred and expectations and how quick some people can be and how slow other people can, just all expectations. And then we had, during the summer, we can get a lot of young people working in the office, college students, other young people, and the office just becomes sort of real active and engaging because there's all these young people. If we have tech questions, I'm always going to them and asking questions. But anyway... I'll just speak. It was Kristen Lee, who you all, many of you will remember, was emailing me a question of some sort. I don't remember what it was. And we started down this email conversation. And I, being the person who wants to have a conversation and speak face-to-face, like, this isn't working for me. I got up, went over to her, and just said, let's talk about this. And she sort of got startled, looked up at me like, what are you doing here? Why are we doing this? And I sat down and said, let's just talk. And that whole, again, those dynamics of, that's not me, Teddy. I don't want this. Don't do this. Me, I need to see her and I need to hear her. This didn't work for me. So it's just sort of getting used to, how do you find a common ground and how do you recognize what each of those generations needed and still make it work? Okay. So what I would do if we had more time is I would be breaking you into small groups. And I would ask you to think through, for each of the generational cohorts, what was happening in the time of their formative years for people born in different generations. So what influences would have occurred that would shape some of their thinking, some of their values? Then we talk about that. What are some of their values? Recognizing that values really are many, many dynamics come into developing your values. Certainly your family is a very important foundation for that. As well as where you grew up in the country. Okay? And any of you who've traveled or have family members who've moved away, or maybe you lived somewhere and moved to Wisconsin, you know that there are very varying differences among the coasts in this big Midwest area that we all live in now. And then certainly an important dynamic is work ethic and how each of the generational cohorts fit that. So we're going to do it as a group because we're going to speed this along. So the next slide I'm going to put up would be of the radio or silent generation about influences in their life. So let me just hear, what would have been going on during that generation for the silent or radio generation? What was happening?
World War II.
Pardon?
World War II.
Yeah, World War II.
Great Depression.
Stay-at-home moms.
Black and white TV was
a bit.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio.
No. Radio. Right, that's why they're the radio generation. They all listen to the radio.
45?
They all listen to the radios. I'm not going to know what year, but it's
through 1945.
But just go.
Okay.
So
that's the last.
It's going to feel like a history lesson, doesn't it? You're like, oh, you didn't tell me we have no history.
Cars came more into usage.
You hit most of them. Great Depression, for sure, without a doubt, and big environmental events like the Dust Bowl. The New Deal, this is when Social Security was established, that golden age of radio. That's how they got all their news. Everything came through the radio. Certainly, conflict. You're going to see that through all the generations, there's almost always some kind of conflict that really does have a large impact on generations. So World War II, Korean Wars, and the rise of labor unions. So what happens here as a result of all of this occurring with the wars? What happens with women? You said stay-at-home moms, but what also happens?
They went to work.
Women go to work. Rosie the Riveter. So women are in the workplace. The GIs come back. And then what happens?
They go back home and have babies.
Yeah, absolutely. But women wanted to continue working. Okay, but they were told they couldn't because you're taking
your job.
Mm-hmm. Taking jobs. So as a result of all of these life influences, many of the values are then formed around this generation. You're going to see that typically we say those folks in this generation are very dedicated and are willing to sacrifice, have an incredibly strong work ethic, very risk averse, total respect for authority, total respect for that chain of command, okay, paying attention to who the supervisor is of the supervisor and paying and really following that protocol. Loyalty to the organization. Didn't matter if I didn't like my job, didn't matter if I didn't like my boss. They pay my check, okay? And they're very loyal to the organization. Okay, the next generation being baby boomers, what was happening when they're growing up?
Rock and roll.
Forgot the word in front of it. What are the two words in front of that?
Drugs.
What's the other word in front of that?
Marijuana.
There you go. Didn't anybody, you all have heard the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Come on, you all are older than me now. Come on.
Teddy.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was their mantra. You've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm not going. You know what they taught me at the extension committee meeting? No. Yeah, absolutely. So what else is going on?
Your feast.
Well,
I know.
TV, certainly.
Yeah, TV. TV in general. Yeah, TV. Yeah, many, many, many will remember when that first television came into the house. Hard to believe, but they will. They'll say, I can remember when Dad brought that television in and we plugged it in and we... And how many channels were there?
Three.
Yeah. You know, you started getting a lot of two-car families, too, versus single-car families.
Mm-hmm.
Good people actually...
Suburbia is starting to grow, too.
Yep, suburbia, yep. So we get economic prosperity. After the war, we're going back. The economy is heading in the right direction. And we're starting to spend money. We're starting to spend money we didn't have before. Television, huge. Vietnam, absolutely huge. So huge. And this is where I deviate and I say, how many today consciously think about that we, the United States, are at war today? Probably if you have a loved one serving, you do. Did you see it on the news tonight? Did you read an article in the Kenosha News about it?
Not yet.
How about those of you who grew up when Vietnam was...
Oh, yeah.
What did you see?
Every night.
Yep, every night.
Every single night on television. We saw the soldiers in the rice paddies. We saw the bodies. Now, we weren't seeing it in real time, but we saw it every single night, reported. Every single night. Think about what influence it has on those people of this generation and recognizing what that particular war did in terms of this division in this country. Okay? We're experiencing our assassinations at that time. Civil rights movement becomes huge. The Cold War, we're afraid of that big old country across the pond. What do we have to do in school? What do
get
we learn?
Your desk. All right,
get underneath your desk, put your hands over your head.
That's not it.
Yeah. But what do we know, right?
Yeah.
That in itself is post-traumatic stress from that.
The whole space landing on the moon, you know, getting on the moon, taking that first step. And here's where I get to share my roots of being an Ohio Buckeye girl. Who put the first foot on the moon?
John Glenn.
Neil
Armstrong. And where's Neil Armstrong from? Ohio. Wapakoneta, Ohio. And in the state of Ohio, if you put Columbus in the center and you go northwest, there's where I grew up, and about 20 miles south of that was Wapakoneta. And you know what? We were excited because this was our guy. Put that foot on the
our guy.
This is our guy. Me generation? Okay, back up when I said the previous generation was all about sacrifice, and it was. Total sacrifice. Family came first. What happens to this generation?
The exact opposite.
I'm ready. I want it. So they value optimism. They value choice. Incredible choice. This is the generation that kicks off consumerism and marketing and advertising and variety in products and services like we've never seen before, and this helps actually fuel the economy and all the expansion that we so greatly expect today, actually. So 1962, you need shampoo. How many brands are for sale in the store?
Oh, God.
One
1962.
Or two.
Two.
Yeah, two.
And they were?
Prell.
Breck. And Breck. Yay! And the two of you, can you
shampoo.
Prell and Breck are only two. So today, if you went to go buy shampoo, how many choices do you have?
Too many.
Exactly. Thank the baby boomers for that. Okay, it's the baby boomers who said, my hair's straight, my hair's curly, my hair's frayed, my hair's colored, whatever. I got to have something just for me. And those in the marketing industry, and if you've had marketing classes, you know, they love this. They figured out that's how we sell products, is we find out what you, of your demographic and your age group and what your interests are, and that's what we hit. Seems so simple now. Back then, it was all new phenomenon. Okay, totally new. Promotion and recognition, boomers, the workaholics. Mm-hmm. If you ever meet a baby boomer and you're in a maybe a setting, a social setting you've not met, and someone will introduce themselves, hi, I'm Teddy. What's the next thing they say?
What do you do?
Why? Because work defines them. Work defines the baby boomers. It's what do you do? That's it. I bet that's not even on your radar. You think about that.
You know, there's one that's not on there. The yuppies.
Next generations.
That was the, oh, that was the next one? Yeah. I thought that was...
Yep. Gen Xers. Now, here's that small generation. And this is the generation that experienced one of the very first sort of public disgraces of that president position in the United States, mm-hmm. and that would be Nixon and the whole Watergate, and the president actually resigns.
Yeah, but literally, I wasn't even born then, and I'm a Gen X.
It's you.
Gen Xers started in 66. That was 68, right?
No, that was 72.
Watergate's in the 70s.
Early 70s. Oh, okay. 70s. Well,
okay. So he's a little one.
But Gen X started in 66,
well,
right?
You'd have to. I'm not good on specifics, okay? So I'd have to go back and look.
Yes,
but I can go back and look.
Yeah.
I don't even. I mean, I was born.
And now remember, the decade is really long, so it would be not everybody fitting in that. You may fall towards the end of the Gen X, more Gen Y, too. That's the other thing about depending upon when you were born, which year you're born, you may find yourselves leaning toward another generational cohort, and that could also be a factor on what your birth order was. If you were the youngest and had lots of older brothers and sisters, you may find yourself leaning towards tendencies of another mm-hmm. generation just because of that. Okay. I want to just mention the Challenger disaster. What was unique about the Challenger disaster?
It was on TV.
When
I was in third grade.
Right? You all know what we're talking about? The space shuttle explodes. What happened? Teacher.
Yes.
Teachers.
She was from Ohio, wasn't she?
No, I don't believe so.
Or
I don't remember that. Krista McAuliffe.
Yeah.
I thought she was in the Northeast.
But what's unique to those youth growing up when this explodes? Where are they when that happens?
We all saw it in school.
You all see it in school because we're excited. This
school,
is a teacher on board.
I was in third grade.
You're in the classroom. The teacher wheels the television in because it's on a cart. You know, the television's on a big cart in there, and they turn it on, and we're all excited, and then. Boom. How do you think that, what do you think a teacher did? I mean, she's got all these young kids, and now you've all just seen real life explode. This has huge impacts on these generations, okay? single parent homes now, this is when we actually coined the term latchkey kids, because they're coming home, there's nobody home. They are one of the first generations who recognize not everybody looks like me. because I'm in a multi-generational play group, I'm in a early Head Start, or I'm in a preschool group, and I've got little kids who don't look like me, but I don't, you know, you just, it's so multicultural at this point. MTV is huge, and the whole concept of AIDS becomes very prevalent. Changes that birds and bees discussion that parents have to have with their kids into a very serious discussion, because now I have to be worried about your life. And the word now becomes safe sex. It's just not a sex conversation. It's now a safe sex. We're now talking words we've never heard before. Safe sex? You got it. You know, it's just changing all the dynamics. They value flexibility, telecommuting. They also balance life. They, unlike the baby boomers before them, baby boomers live to work. Workaholics. What do you do? What promotion have you had lately? That's the baby boomers. Gen Xers, are you kidding me? I work to live. I work because it gives me the paycheck to do what I want to do. Okay? And I want to have fun, and I want to play. So it's just that. And they will move from job to job to job because of that. Okay? They're not. You won't see that same loyalty. Very independent and have a lot of initiative, but they're a lot of fun. If you've got a Gen Xer in your office, which we do, a lot of fun. Guess who our Gen Xer might be. A lot of fun. Gen Ys, our millennials, even funner. Okay, so what's happening? I'm jumping ahead here, but technology is huge in their life. Okay, these individuals are known as digital natives because from day one, technology has been in their world. Unlike those of us on the other side of the room, digital immigrants. You're pulling us in, okay? You're dragging us along. But these are digital natives, and forevermore.
They haven't known a world without Nintendo.
Yeah, known a world
literally.
Without anything. Yeah, very. They, again, conflict, Desert Storm. Talking about, again, the office of the president, Clinton scandal. Huge. And this is the generation that's very concerned about their personal safety. Why? Because it's been so prevalent in everything they've done. The schools are locked down. We now have to go through detectors in some cases where schools, before your schools were open, my schools were open. Anybody could come in the door anytime. Not anymore. Personal safety. Schoolyard violence, Oklahoma City bombing, and then obviously the greatest terrorist in this country, which would be okay. They value optimism. They do value family. They're very, very confident, just like their baby boomer, in some cases grandparents. They love choice. They want a lot of choice. They expect it. They also expect immediate gratification. And that's because they've gotten it all the time. When they were in school, you did something right, what'd you get?
Star
sticker. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I did good. And then you went home and Mom put up a KP chart on the fridge and you took out the trash and what'd you get? A star. Another sticker. Yeah. So you're at work, you're like, where's my stars? Where's my stickers? I got to get something for being good. I got to be good. Very much a throw-it-away society. Very much. And that's, again, because these don't last very long. Mm-hmm. And the next one came along, and I want the next one. Okay, so that's challenging. Okay, so quickly, when you look at the different generations, and you think about this in perspective of a larger generational cohort, the outlook for radio folks is very practical. Boomers are optimistic. Gen Xs are our skeptics, challenging everything, asking a lot of questions. Our Gen Ys are hopeful, feeling very positive. Company loyalty, the radio, very loyal to the company. Boomers are loyal to the work. Gen X is loyal to themselves. And Gen Y says, I'm always going to have a resume ready. I'm ready to be moving. Attitude towards work, just do it. Work should be meaningful. Work pays the bills, and those Gen Ys want to have fun. Leisure is a reward for hard work, but for the boomers, it's just the point of life. And Gen X sees it as a relief, and back to Gen Ys, they see it as part of their life. The best one down here is managing money. Radio generations are going to save. Boomers are going to spend. Gen X is going to hedge a little bit more. There are skeptics and our questionables. Look at that Gen Y. Who cares? I got my parents' money. I'm just going to spend their money. So let me say that this actually does cause generational differences can cause work conflict, and you might be experiencing that in places of work and not necessarily identified it as a generational difference, but it could be. And the real conflict is often based in those difference of our values, our opinions, our beliefs, and our ambitions, just where we're actually coming from. This is the one I really want to get to. So hang on with me here.
You're okay.
The clock is a ticking. It's loading up a YouTube video, so hang on, because it's going to come on. I just think this is so fascinating. So hopefully, I didn't have time to play with the volume, so we're going to see.
I think I've seen this one.
I thought it would be on here. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get this down. So she just got a new toy. She's 2 years old. She got an iPad.
At 2 years old.
She says, where's Angry Birds, Mom?
Yeah.
Look how she just automatically takes her hands and swipes, starts playing with the buttons. No fear. No fear. What's that? Oh, what does it do? Fascinating, I tell you, just totally fascinating. What she figures out, how she intuitively starts working with this. Now, I say that. Dad could have been coaching her for 2 days before this video was shot. You know, I mean, who knows how it works. But my point being is that she's the next generation, which, by the way, do you know what they're called after Gen Y?
Gen Z.
Another name is Gen I, the letter I for I. Marketers
Come
are the ones
on,
that
created,
tend to...
Really?
To label them.
I know.
But her world is always going to revolve around her being 2 years old and already knowing the elements of an iPad. Okay. Lastly, I just want to say as a community, and this affects all of you as policymakers, you need to be thinking about how we be purposeful about what communities are going to look like in terms of these generations. So this age in the city, the boomers are straining communities that have been built for the young. Are we ready to be prepared for, you said funeral homes, we might say other things in between, but you know, as they do age and live longer and are healthier, as a community, are we ready for this? Are we ready? Are we ready to also at the same time attract and retain those younger generations so they stay here? So that you have to think about those mixes and the blends. Something fun for you to do at Thanksgiving with everybody in the family. Go on to the Pew Research website, and there's a test on there that people answer the questions, how millennial are you? And it gives you a score, and you all can figure out just how millennial people are in your family. Generate some good discussions. Lastly, how many of you remember the career guide that everyone was told to kind of take advantage of after you graduate from college called What Color Is My Parachute?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like, okay, everyone should read it, talk about your skills and how you prepare yourself to get. All right, so the latest career guide for our next generations is called The Adventures of Johnny Bunko, the last career guide you'll ever need. So I'm like, well, I have to see what that's like. I bought the book. I thought I should get it.
Comic book?
Total
yep.
comic
oh,
book.
Oh, yeah.
Total. Total. And I did read it. All values. The information is there, but it's all in a story format with the cartoon balloons and cartoons. And so I say to organizations, people, I say, are your print materials written like this? Are you reaching out and attracting those generalists with this? Pardon?
Yeah, exactly. Is there an app for that?
Yeah, they're working an app for that.
That's how they tell you about the Birds and the Bees, too.
Oh, Bianca's got one already.
So that's,
serious now.
See, there you go. That's a very, very, very condensed version of what I do with generations and communicating across generations. So Barb, I've left you a couple minutes.
Okay, so very quickly, as part of the UW Extension horticulture team in the state, we've been very privileged for several years to be able to have USDA special grant dollars to do innovative projects and programs in horticulture and urban agriculture. And so those funds are now finished or pretty much finished. So, and this is a report that some of my colleagues put together that will show you some of the different projects that went on throughout the state. And a lot of them right here in southeast Wisconsin and in Kenosha, too. So I give you a chance to kind of peruse it and share it around with people that you think Bless might you. Be interested Thank in you. It. And if you have any questions, let me know. The nice thing was that we were able to do all sorts of wonderful things. The, of course, frustrating thing was is we're all grant-funded, so sometimes it's hard to sustain these kinds of things.
Thank you.
things like the Junior Master Gardener, the diagnostics, some of those things we're still doing.
Any questions for Barb? Or for Teddy? No? Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Any updates? Nothing? Okay. That's it. We're going to adjourn to the other room.